This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Seahawks reporter Curtis Crabtree joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Curtis?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. My pleasure. Thank you for coming on. Russell Wilson had a Russell Wilson-like day today. Made plays out of the pocket. The Eagles actually got a little pressure on him, but he turned it upfield. He dashed out of the pocket. He made the plays that he had to make. Some people get to see the Seahawks every single week. Other people don't. If they don't watch the West Coast games, they're just on the East Coast. This is typical Russell Wilson stuff, right? And that's why we should be considering him, if not the top, one of the top MVP candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you didn't have the raw numbers today, the yardage or anything like that. The completion percentage was pretty standard for him, probably a little under where he normally sits. And the one ill-advised throw on a 3rd and 25 after penalties backed him up led to an interception that, you know, was only his third of the year. But in general, this is the kind of games Russell Wilson plays. He made one uncharacteristic miss that should have been a touchdown where he just airmailed it over a wide open tight end and Jacob Hollister that should have been another early touchdown. The Seahawks did leave some points out on the table in the first half of the game that could have skewed this game much more heavily in their favor on the scoreboard by the end of the day. But when all things said and done, they're at a 9-2 right now. Russell Wilson becomes the first quarterback in NFL history to have winning seasons in each of his first 8 years of his career. And so he continues to do the sorts of things that the Seahawks have come to expect on a yearly, weekly, monthly basis, and has the Seahawks back in position to make the playoffs once again, obviously.
And that's a good stat. I did not know he's the first ever for 8 straight winning seasons to start his career. That's a pretty good number to hang your hat on. Today they got a big game out of Rashad Penny, who was a high draft pick a couple of years ago. Chris Carson has been their main ball carrier, their bell cow back the last couple of years. Where did Penny's big effort come out of?
Well, it was a couple big runs in general kind of buoyed the day for him. He had the 58-yard run for a touchdown that was obviously kind of the dagger score for Seattle today to put them kind of over the hump, gave them the 17-3 lead, about 12 minutes left in the game, and Philly couldn't respond from that. And then he had another like flip toss sort of play early in the game that went for about 26 yards as well. So they came on a couple big chunk plays, but he'd only had about, I think 85 snaps total offensively on the season so far this year coming into today's game. And so he got a little bit more run today. Chris Carson has dealt with some fumbling issues, and so they wanted to give Rashad Penny a little bit more of a look given the way he's looked in practice the last several weeks. And he responded with a pretty big day on the ground for him, and it was definitely nice for them to see that out of a former first-round pick.
Certainly agree there. Let me get your take on Josh Gordon. They picked him up off of waivers when the Patriots moved away from him. They've got two really talented wide receivers, so it wasn't a desperate need. When you've got Lockett and Metcalf, you're in pretty good shape to begin with. What does Josh Gordon add to their mix going forward? How do you think the Seahawks see him fitting into their offense?
Well, I think they're still figuring that out to some extent. They've only had him for a couple weeks now and are trying to get him a little bit more involved. As you mentioned, with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, they've got two pretty strong targets that they trust, though Metcalf had a couple of, I wouldn't necessarily call them drops today because a couple of them were tough catches, but balls that were catchable that he was unable to come up with. But when it comes to Gordon, he's caught, the impact he has had has been pretty stark already. He's got 3 catches for Seattle. All have come on slant routes, but they've all been on 3rd downs to keep drives alive. And so he has already made an impact for them in the 2 games that he's played for them. Basically, the addition of Gordon gives them the chance to kind of just bump up that rotational set of receivers with David Moore and Jerron Brown behind those top 2 guys to where they still aren't losing some firepower in their rotations when Lockett and Metcalf need a breather. And it'll take a little bit of time to get Gordon integrated into the offense and get a true feel for him and Russell Wilson to come together and all of that. But there's no doubt he's got some talent there. And if Seattle can find the right way to deploy him and utilize him, it could be a nice little addition for them to have.
We're talking to Curtis Crabtree. He's the Seahawks beat guy for KJR Radio out in Seattle here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I want to turn my attention to the defense. And the Seahawks defense this year has been good. It's been stout. It's been solid. Hasn't been dominant. It's middle of the league in points per game allowed. Yes, Jadeveon Clowney has been a nice fit, and he's given him a big boost in the pass rush. This is not the Legion of Boom anymore, but they look like the Legion of Boom to me today, completely taking the Eagles out of their offense. Bobby Wagner is the lone holdover from the Legion of Boom. How have they put this defense back together again as quickly as they have after taking the Legion Boom apart?
Well, it's still kind of a work in progress because really it had looked like it was lacking some firepower up until the 49ers game right before their bye. And then particularly in the pass rush, Ziggy Ansah hadn't given him much of anything all season until today. Clowney had been making an impact, but it hadn't resulted in sack numbers through the first 9 weeks of the season, and then he didn't even play today in Philadelphia because of a little hip injury he was dealing with. But the last 2 weeks, they have 8 sacks, and that's kind of come out of nowhere because they'd had all of, I think, about 15 on the year up until the start of the Niners game. And so if they all of a sudden have found some pass rush to kind of add to what they have elsewise the rest of the way here, this could be a really big development for Seattle the rest of the way. Add into the fact that they made the trade for Quandre Diggs from Detroit about a month and change ago, and he's now made the last 2 games. He started at free safety for Seattle, and Seattle's had 8 turnovers in those games. You kind of pair those two things together, the Diggs addition, along with the increase in their pass rush ability here, and that might kind of explain why Seattle's defense has looked a little bit different here the last couple weeks. So that's been a couple key things. They've added some nice young players around, but Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, as you mentioned, are basically the only two real holdovers from those Super Bowl teams on defense, and they've had to find some veteran fits in and some draft picks to kind of rebuild the group around and make some savvy trades to add to the mix as well. So it's still kind of a work in progress. The last 2 weeks have been pretty good step in the right direction for that unit as a whole.
You're there. You see it. I'm assuming that Bobby Wagner is the unquestioned leader of that defense. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. He's since the rest of the secondary guys all moved on, you know, he's definitely the leader of the defense, and him and KJ Wright have a pretty solid presence over the middle of that defense for sure.
They beat the 49ers a couple of, last week, as a matter of fact, in that thrilling overtime game. They get the 49ers again in week number 17, and they get them at home. Is this division going to come down to that game?
It very well could. And, you know, in that regard, Seattle, even though they're a game behind the Niners in the standings right now, control their destiny in that regard. If they can win out, they'll win the division. Now, that doesn't necessarily speak to where they'll land, if it'll give them a first-round bye or anything, because they got Green Bay and New Orleans, who is one of the two teams to beat them still to deal with at the top of the NFC standings. But it definitely seems like we're heading towards a Week 17 matchup that's going to matter between the 49ers and Seahawks, particularly if the 49ers can keep it rolling with a win tonight over Green Bay that they've already got a 10-0 head start on. So, and, you know, with the rest of the schedule that final week, it wouldn't shock me at all if that ends up being the Sunday night game as well, that final week of the season with the playoff implications that game would have. So it would certainly kind of be harkened back to the 2013 season where that rivalry between Seattle and San Francisco was really at its peak. You don't have the Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll element of it in there anymore, but it would certainly be a big matchup to see at the end of the regular season for sure.
Let me ask you about Coach Pete, because a lot of times here on not only CBS Sports Radio, other shows I do, other places, it seems like I've been talking about it for a decade and a half minimum. Brady and Belichick established their rapport, went back to the Super Bowl, and it just continues to roll on, sneaking up on 2 decades later, and they're tied at the hip. And people debate whether Belichick is the reason that Brady's Brady or Brady is the reason that Belichick's Belichick, and who should be getting the credit and who's lifting up the other. It is that, I know we're just a portion of the way into it, but does that relationship, does that conversation happen in Seattle as well? That is P Pete Carroll the one who makes Russell Wilson Russell Wilson? Or is Russell Wilson the one who makes Pete Carroll one of the best coaches in the National Football League? Is there a parallel between those two situations?
I don't know if there quite so much is, because Brady and Belichick have basically been together the entire time, and at least early on in Russell's tenure as quarterback, it was a team that kind of at least relied on the defense and running game first and foremost. Not to say that Russell's first couple years weren't good, because they were, but they have certainly shifted from that high-priced defensive philosophy with the, you know, shuffling out the Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill era, and moved on to an era that is centered around a $35 million top of the market quarterback in Russell Wilson now, and are still finding ways to make it work. So they've done it two different ways. So it's probably not quite an apples to apples comparison there, but certainly it took getting Russell Wilson and having that defense come together at first for the Seahawks to really make their mark in the Carroll era, for sure. They did make the playoffs as a 7-9 division winner his first year here and all that before taking a little step back in 11. But then since then, they've been pretty much a playoff contender, playoff team, top of the NFC sort of contender just about every season. And that whole relationship is definitely part of it.
Would the Seahawks take another shot at Belichick and Brady in the Super Bowl and get a chance to maybe get some redemption from a somewhat questionable call down by the goal line a couple of years ago?
Oh, if they got the chance, I don't think they'd be choosy about who they saw. They'll take whoever's at the other end of the road. So I'm sure they would take that opportunity if it presents itself here at the end of the year, for sure.
We'd have to figure out who on the Patriot squad would be Malcolm Butler for the remake. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board, Curtis. Enjoy the rest of the season with the Seahawks. We'll talk to you again when the playoffs roll around.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.